Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on this Friday evening. We're here for the full four with you, asking you to download that radio.com app. We know you're not spending as much time in the car or in the vehicle as what you used to be, so you want to listen to the station, you want to listen to the show specifically, well, how do I do it? Simple. Download the radio.com app. Put that on your device today. Take that smartphone, those Alexa speakers, that tablet, that boombox, that Laserdisc player, that VHS recorder, your Nikon camera, your Light Bright, your Coleco, your Intellivision. I really don't know what your device is, but just download it onto something today to be able to catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the platforms there. As always, the best way to stay updated with this particular show is through our personal Twitter handles. You can reach myself. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown producing the show, hanging out with us on this Friday evening. He will ask the questions later on for Rankum. And you know how we get a little bit wild and woolly on a Friday evening. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Lots to get into with you here this evening as we get ready for Game 3 of the World Series between the Dodgers and Tampa Bay Rays. I almost said Devil Rays. They're not the Devil Rays anymore. Can't use that term devil. You know, it's mean. It's nasty. Can't use it. It's politically incorrect to say Devil Rays. But anyway, so Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers series tied up at one apiece. And they had the day off yesterday. Remember, we talked about the World Series actually has some built-in days off. I think they play the next three games, which is technically supposed to be in Tampa, and then I think they get one more day off with that. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the World Series. Of course, as we've explained all week, bittersweet watching both the Dodgers and Tampa Bay. Certainly Tampa Bay, a team that the Braves could have probably been able to beat, split with them early in the year at the very beginning of this particular season. Of course, watching the Dodgers after they wiped away the 3-1 series lead. We're going to talk some Braves baseball coming up a little bit later on this hour. We kind of teased what I want to get into last night as the awards and accolades continue for one Freddie Freeman. Coming up in our next segment as we get ready for this Sunday, and of course all your action is right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. pregame, postgame with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. And, of course, on the call is Dave Archer and Wes Durham. It is Falcons football as Falcons and Lions get ready to play. Our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney, who joins us on Friday. She'll join us in the next segment, covers all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. As, of course, Falcons coming off their first win of the season on the road at Minnesota, now take on a Lions team that obviously has had their struggles this season. Certainly, you know, two teams that record-wise not in the position that they want to be. And we've been kind of saying all week long, look, get yourself ready for the idea that the Falcons win this game. And I know it goes against everything that people in their heart want to believe and be a part of, but look, it is what it is. The Falcons are a talented football team still. I will tell you what's fascinating is the trades in the NFL, and I don't know, you know, we'll talk about the specific moves later on in our NFL Squib Kick, but if I tied into the Falcons, I don't know if it would have made a difference or not. I don't know if the season would have been different, but two guys that literally went on the move here in the last couple of days, Yannick Ngakoue, of course, started off in Jacksonville, traded Jarvis, help me out, he went to Minnesota, traded to the Minnesota Vikings, and then the Vikings have now traded him to the Baltimore Ravens, and basically, the Vikings got back almost the exact same deal that they gave to Jacksonville. The only difference is I think Baltimore gave them a third round pick, whereas Minnesota gave up a second round pick to Jacksonville. But they did swap fifth round picks and stuff. So, you know, obviously Ngakoue was a high valued defensive end, sacked the quarterback guy, wasn't obviously a free agent, but was going into franchise year, but didn't want to be in Jacksonville. And, you know, there was obviously a lot of rumor about the idea of him leaving Jacksonville and being traded anyway. He obviously had the whole offseason of going back and forth with the owner, Shad Khan, about not being a part of the team. So he was certainly available. The other guy that moved today is a guy who was signed on a one-year deal coming back to the New York Giants, and that's Marcus Golden, who, an outside linebacker coming back from injury last year, had 10 sacks as an outside linebacker, and I kind of asked the question, hey, are the Falcons in the mix? He was a free agent, signed a one-year deal to come back with the Giants. Now, again, I'll say, I don't know if fates and fortunes would be different, but what if this team had made a run, you know, for one or both of those guys in the offseason? Golden would have been a nice additional linebacker to have, would not have cost the money that obviously Dante Fowler pulled up, and then if you're talking about Ngakoue, that was going to be a trade, and you would have had the franchise number, but really not much worse than you know, what you're talking about. Listen, we always talk about in the NFL, money, you can find money. If you need money, you can find money. They found money to pay Dante Fowler. They could have found money for the franchise in Ngakoue. I'm just saying, what if those two guys could have been a part of this team? I don't know if it would have been different. I don't know if it would have, the defense would look better. But that was certainly two names that we talked about. I can't speak for other shows. I think Mike and Carl talked a lot about Ngakoue as well. But I can tell you on this show, Jarvis, we talked about Marcus Golden and Ngakoue. Could the Falcons go and make a move for those guys? So I can't tell you that things would be different, the fortunes would be any different defensively. But, boy, it just seems like here's two guys that were on the marketplace and two guys that are, you know, since moving. And, by the way, Ngakoue has been productive. It's not like Ngakoue has been a bust or anything like that going to Minnesota. Yeah, he's been really good. He was top five in the NFL in sacks going into last week. Golden had a sack, last night in that game. You know, he's been battling some injuries, but he had a sack last night. And what is it? Jarvis. I think Chandler Jones went down for the Cardinals. He's out for the year. So this is kind of the guy that they're bringing in to try to replace him. So I don't know. It just we talk about making moves and going for it and this and that. And, you know, here's two guys that were readily available, and not just readily available. They've been readily available for multiple teams now. It is what it is at this point. So Falcons lines coming up on Sunday. We'll talk to Torrey coming up in the next segment. Also coming up tomorrow as well, we get down to the final four, if you will. And what I mean by that is the final four matches for Atlanta United in their regular season. They'll take on DC United coming up tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have all your action right here on Sports Radio Nights on the Game as Jason Longshore and Mike Connie will have the call for all of that. As Atlanta United enters 1 point out of a playoff spot. Now, I've not seen if there's any action going on tonight in MLS, but as of right now, Atlanta United sits 1 point behind in the Eastern Conference playoff spot, sitting in the 11th spot, got to get to the 10. 19 points, 20 points is where the number 10 team sits. I think the next team is 23. So four matches left, certainly the ability to get into the playoffs. And it will be curious to see, you know, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, how do we evaluate this season? And I know everything is going to be around Yosef, but if the only way we can evaluate this franchise is whether or not they do or do not have Yosef Martinez, then that's not what this franchise sold us on about what they're supposed to be. And I understand PT and Barco, but those are the guys they picked. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell me about, well, you know, PT didn't work out, and we had to transfer, we got the money to transfer him, or Barco's been, okay, but those are the guys you picked. That's the guys that you went to battle with. I'm not the general manager. I didn't pick the guys. I didn't put the names out there. If that's the people that you go to battle with, then that's the people you go to battle with. And I do think a lot of United fans will say that the depth of that roster is not there like we've seen over the last couple of years, that certainly it's some of those ancillary playmakers that maybe we look back and say, wow, maybe those guys are a little bit more valuable than what we initially thought that they were, and maybe that those are pieces that we should maybe not have let just walk away so casually. You know, maybe now this team is sort of paying the price for that. So it will be interesting to kind of get through this next four matches and then look to see, did they make the playoffs? Did they not? How do we start to evaluate the season for Atlanta United? Obviously, a lot of upheaval and change and stuff like that, but this is supposed to be the model franchise for MLS. They don't have anything that slows them down. They don't have the ability to make moves. They don't have, you know, money issues or anything like that. They have all the ability in the world to make whatever roster that they have to make out there. So all the action coming up here on Sports Radio Nights on the Game tomorrow at 4 o'clock, DC United. As we said, after tomorrow, three last matches is it to try to get that final spot in the playoffs. All right, when we come back, Torrey McElhaney will join us for a weekly conversation looking at the Atlanta Falcons versus the Detroit Lions. We'll talk to her next. It is the John Chuckwa Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on that radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckwa Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening, 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Leave us a comment there. Got some Falcons thoughts or thoughts on the World Series as we get ready for Game 3 later on this evening. Radio.com apps, how you listen to the radio station outside the vehicle. We ask you to download that. Social media at 929 The Game. Follow us there. As always, follow us at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, we get ready for week 7 of the NFL. It kicked off last night, but the Falcons and Lions, of course, we are your home of all things Atlanta Falcons. All the coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. It's our weekly chat with our friend Torrey McElhaney. You can follow Torrey on Twitter at Torrey_McElhaney. Torrey, good Friday evening to you. Thanks, as always, for spending a few minutes with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again.
Tori, let's first start with the injury updates, who we expect to be in. I saw Julio, but I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've watched every snap and every practice Julio Jones has ever had in his entire life. Him being, you know, inactive for practice, just kind of par for the course. So where do we stand as far as game day? Who we think's in, who we think's out?
Basically, it's just about everybody. Julio should be good. The only person who is questionable right now is Jack McKinley. I'm not entirely sure if we will see him on Sunday, but considering he's the only name as of right now who we may not see on Sunday, I think that's a pretty good spot to be in considering how this season has gone up until this point.
Marlon Davidson is out of protocol, COVID protocol and all that, so everything is good there?
Oh, no. If we're talking about COVID stuff, I wasn't even talking about that. John Kaminsky and Marlon Davidson will not play this weekend. Okay. They are still on the COVID in reserve list.
You know, we heard all last week, Tori, about and you and I even talked about it on the previous Friday about the accountability and things like that. And you know, I will say in watching the game, I definitely think that there was a different look to this team, a more complete game. Obviously, their execution was much more efficient. The question now becomes, you know, you're only as good as your last, you know, game, and you're only as good as this week. Is the same kind of vibe been around practice as well? Are guys still talking about some of the same things? It's easy to get up in 1 week for a new coach. How do you keep that momentum going into week two?
Yeah, no, I do think that when you talk to these guys, when you talk to Raheem, when you talk to the coordinators, assistant coaches, they are still feeling it. They are still feeling this extra motivation. They know at this point, honestly, if you think about it, like they're not just playing for, they're one, playing to keep their jobs, and two, they're playing for, if you look at it, you know, there's going to be a new GM. There's going to be a new head coach that's coming in here. So you're playing to show off for those guys, and you're also, if those guys don't want you around, you're showing off for your next team. So, yeah, no, they have to find their own motivation, because at the end of the day, they've got to put good film together. They've got to put a good tape together if they want to look at their futures in the NFL. And that goes for both coaches and players, because there will be a turnover in Atlanta when you get a new head coach and GM in there. It's just, that's just normal. That's just natural. That's just the expectation. So you got to, like, these players understand all of that. They understand this is a business, and they understand they got to be thinking of their own futures.
Yeah, Tori, it's funny that you say that, because I talk about this all the time on the show, that people talk about, you know, tanking for Trevor and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's fun to say in the NFL, oh, yeah, tank for this guy, tank for that guy. But I don't think people understand that, to your point. In the NFL, if you put quit on tape, you won't play in the league. And I don't care if you were playing for a bad team, bad franchise, you don't like the coach, this, that, and the other. If other coaches and other GMs get a hold of that tape and they see that you quit on your team, why would I want to bring that guy in because he can't face adversity? And I think you make a good point there in talking about that, kind of reaffirm what I've said for a long time about, hey, look, these guys know week in, week out that you want to get on the field and play, you better be able to show it, you know, come game time.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that's, I mean, it's the narrative right now, you know, like they have to play for their futures. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's one thing for the fan base to want the team to tank and the team to do bad. But this team, as individual players, they know that they can't do that for their own job security, for their own futures. So while I get to the whole tank for Trevor narrative, I really get it. I just don't know how feasible it is when you look at these coaches and these players wanting to go out and actually, you know, put together a good tape.
Falcons reporter for The Athletic, Tori McElhaney, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline as we get ready for Falcons and Lions coming up this Sunday. You know, this is, you know, Lions team that's been up and down as well. I mean, it seems very simple. I mean, you know, execute like you did last week. And, you know, it's not that I think the Falcons did anything particularly fancy or whatever like that. You know, if you have a quarterback that throws the ball at you, make sure you catch it. When you get a chance to execute on offense, hit the plays. I mean, we saw Matt was the NFC offensive player of the week. I would imagine that he had to be feeling pretty good, because let's face it, it's been up and down. And for this team to get that first win, here's a chance that they can have another team that, frankly, this is the part of the schedule that starts to loosen up and the Lions are very beatable.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think going back to your point about Matt Ryan, here is somebody who, you know, didn't really have a great game against Carolina. And that entire week, with everything else going on, he had to answer a lot of questions about his future in Atlanta. And that's, you know, that's a hard position to be in. And essentially, he goes out and has a pretty dang good game against Minnesota. And it's almost kind of like him saying, you know what, like, I'm here. He made that comment about, you know, we rent these lockers. They aren't, we don't own them. We rent them. So, like, you got to go out and you got to pay your rent. And that's essentially what I think he did against Minnesota. It was him saying, you know, like, y'all are paying me the money to be here, to be this quarterback, to lead this team, and I'm going to go and do it.
Torrey McElhaney joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline as we get ready for Falcons and Lions coming up on Sunday. You know, defensively, this team obviously looked a lot different. We talked last week about the fact that they weren't really going to change up how they were operating as far as, like, you know, splitting up play calling and things like that. I guess if it worked for 1 week, that will be the plan moving forward. I mean, how much was just the Falcons actually executed versus how much maybe there was some tweaks to how they were coached up on Sunday?
I think that's interesting, an interesting question, because I honestly think that it was how they were coached up, you know, in the week ahead, maybe not even like on Sunday. Like, yeah, I do think that they probably had some tweaks here and there, because they honestly, they had to, with Tosh and Jess not being able to coach that defensive line, being held out and not able to travel to Minnesota. They had to change some things up in terms of their entire defensive coaching staff because of all of that. So, yeah, I'm sure that there were a lot of changes. I'm sure that even, honestly, what we'll see this Sunday in comparison to last Sunday will be a little different. But at the end of the day, I do think it was a mentality thing. I think it was this defense going out and being like, we have to play better. And it was Raheem Morris calling out some of those leaders and being like, I need more from you. I think that, more honestly, maybe more than anything else, was the biggest change that I saw from the first five games to last Sunday.
As far as this running game goes, how satisfied do the coaching, does the coaching staff feel like that they are with this run game as Todd Gurley becomes more comfortable in this offense, seeing his snap counts go the direction that they are? How comfortable do they feel? I mean, obviously they made a lot of big plays in the running game for him, but how comfortable are they feeling about this run game against a Detroit Lions team that, you know, can't, you know, is susceptible to the run?
Yeah, I think they're feeling, you know, pretty good, feeling okay, probably better than they did at the beginning of the year, because just from talking to Dirk Cutter, even, you know, in the early parts of, like, training camp and in the early parts of the season, you did kind of, and Dan Quinn, too, you did kind of get the sense that they were still trying to figure out how they wanted to make sure that they were utilizing Todd Gurley in the correct way. And they wanted to make sure that they weren't overworking him, making sure that they were giving him the carries that he needed. So there was a lot that they just kind of had to feel out. I think now, kind of to your point, they are getting in more of a rhythm in the run game. And something that I even asked Raheem Morris today was, the other day he was kind of talking about how the run game was efficient. The run game was not really as efficient as it had been previously. But then it was effective enough to win the game. And I think that's where you got to live sometimes. You have to live in that, you know, you're not going to get the big runs and you're not going to break open things, but you're just going to chip away. So learning to be effective just to win the game with the run game, I think, is really important, especially going against Detroit on Sunday and kind of knowing how they can defend the run.
Yeah, and Detroit before last week was the worst run defense in the NFL, but somehow they only gave up 44 yards. They only gave up 44 yards to the Jaguars last week. So you never know what to make of all of that. Last thing for you here, Torrey. We keep kind of waiting for this pass rush and everything to kind of get developed. You know, how How is the defensive coaching staff talking about that? That's been kind of one of the bugaboos about getting into the season. Secondary, I thought, played better, obviously. They made their picks. Certainly Deion Jones had his best game maybe of the entire season this past week. But pass rush-wise, do they feel better as they're getting guys coming back and getting guys healthy and getting back to full staff, that that's the next part of the evolution of this defense to come along?
Absolutely. And I think, like kind of like what you mentioned, like getting guys back, you know, for a while, Grady Jarrett was really the only one who felt like he was at 100%. Dante Fowler played a lot, but he played on a hurt ankle. And coaches kind of spoke to that a little bit more, you know, after some games. Like, you know, he's having to play through this. And he's playing through it, and he's trying his best, and he's getting out there. So, yeah, once guys do get healthy, and I think once you hopefully get Marlon Davidson back soon, John Kaminsky back soon, Tack McKinley, once you get those names back in there, I mean, you hope that they will be able to make a difference, because you're absolutely right that when you look at the defense as a whole, you really want to see that pass rush be there, because it needs to be there, because it does help the secondary out. And so I do think that they will get there eventually. I think it is going to be a process, though, of getting guys back.
Follow her on Twitter. It's at Tori_McElhaney. She'll have all your Falcons coverage, because she covers all things for the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic, and joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Tori, as always, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Be safe. Be healthy. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
Awesome. Sounds good. Have a good one.
You got it. So Falcons and Lions right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, kickoff at 1 o'clock. We'll have all your coverage right here as always. When we get back, should Freddie Freeman take a hometown discount to try to help this franchise out as, you know, they try to figure out how do we get to the World Series and win this thing? You know, his contract's coming due. We'll talk about all of that next. It is the John Chuckwood Show. Hanging out with you here on this Friday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuckwood Show. Hanging out on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, if you want to leave us a comment there. We ask you to download the radio.com app to catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. Hit me up at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Oh, let me mention, too, before I forget, because I think they, I don't know if they're on tomorrow or if they're on Sunday morning, but a happy birthday to our own Sam Crenshaw. Of course, you hear him on weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays here on 92.9 The Game. Him and Greg Clarkson on the weekends, longtime staple of the station. Of course, as good as there is in Atlanta covering high school sports. And I know he loves still going out to these stadiums and being a part of all the local high school action. It's always funny on Friday because I'll get that tweet from him. And I love it. I mean, I love Sam's passion and you know, say what you will, but, you know, that I always joke about that group, Jarvis, that threesome of Fred Khalil and Sam Crenshaw and Gil Tyree, man, that was the Pips. I mean, those three guys were the Pips. I mean, that was Atlanta sports, you know, back in the mid-late 90s with those guys, you know, loved all those guys. Of course, Sam's still here, Fred Khalil still here in town, but always enjoyed their work. So happy birthday to our guy, Sam Crenshaw. He's one of a kind, and I love Sam to death, man. He's awesome to always talk to, always positive, always upbeat. Obviously does all the state stuff with Georgia State as well. So happy birthday to Sam. Hope he's living, he's celebrating his birthday exactly how he'd want to be at a high school football game. So always, you'll hear those guys coming up this weekend as well. Now, also coming up, maybe sooner rather than later. I don't know if people understand that Freddie Freeman has 1 year left. Remember when Freddie Freeman years ago signed that long-term deal to be an Atlanta Brave? And, you know, at the time, we looked at it and said, you know, oh, wow, you know, that's not a bad deal. And he's locked up for the long term and good to go. Well, time has a funny way of catching up. And now all these years later, Freddie Freeman is set to go into his final year of his contract. Signed the contract back in 2014 when he was a 24-year-old. It was an 8-year, $135 million deal. Now, that averages out to $16.875 million. Now, Freddie Freeman last year and this year is about $22 million of salary that the Braves have with them. I think this year's $22 million is what he's set to make out of there. Obviously, Alex Anthopoulos has talked about extending, and there's no reason to think that Freddie Freeman is not going to be an Atlanta Brave for life. But now we're at Freddie Freeman is 31 years old. He turned 31 in September, so that means as we move toward playoff baseball next year, assuming that, you know, let's just assume full regular season, no pandemic, everything just kind of, at least schedule-wise, goes back to normal, right? Freddie Freeman will be 32 years old as we move toward playoff baseball next year. So now the question becomes, how long of a contract? How big is the number? And, you know, because people love to throw this term around, should Freddie Freeman take a hometown discount to help keep enough money available to the Atlanta Braves to go out and make the additional pieces that they need? Now, a couple of things. First off, while there is no salary cap in Major League Baseball, obviously, everybody does have a self-imposed salary cap. I mean, the Atlanta Braves have a self-imposed salary cap. They're not going to spend X amount of dollars. They're not going to spend whatever, $200 million. You know, they're not going to try to compete with the LA Dodgers. Should they? I mean, that's a separate and different discussion about what should it be, how aggressive should they be, and things like that. But reality says that, based upon what we've seen in Liberty Media, there is a threshold. Now, maybe that number increases or decreases next year because of pandemics and things like that. I don't know. But at the same time, they have some of their core group of guys that are locked up. Obviously, Ozzy and Ronald Acuna, their deals were so friendly early on, you know, but eventually that money will start to work its way, you know, up. Now, if you want a reference point to a very recent big contract for a first baseman of the same age and ilk, who's a high-level player, look no further than Paul Goldschmidt of the St. Louis Cardinals. So Goldschmidt signed his deal as a 31-year-old as well. He signed earlier this year. It's a five-year, $130 million deal. So it comes out to an average. That's an average of $26 million per year for Paul Goldschmidt. Obviously, another one of the more productive first basemen in Major League Baseball. But it is interesting because that is a very, very much of a blueprint when you're talking about two guys similar age, very recent. You know, Goldschmidt signed earlier this year. He's 31 as well when he signed it, 5 years, $130 million. Now, the question becomes, would Freddie Freeman take a little bit less to help find a way to sign some other guys, or do you cash in? Because Freddie Freeman's value is never going to be higher than what it is now. Everybody knows he's the heart and soul of the Atlanta Braves. He's about to collect an MVP award. He's already getting all of the, you know, he's the Baseball Writers Association Player of the Year. He's Baseball America's Player of the Year. He's the Baseball Players Association Player of the Year and NL Player. So everything is going to roll Freddie Freeman's way. Isn't it amazing that, you know, it's just sometimes timing in life is everything. And Freddie Freeman, listen, you don't think even at 31, 32 years old, if Freddie Freeman hit the open market and you're a team that thinks it's about one player away and you could add the best first baseman in Major League Baseball? And that's why I had this argument with people about underrated and this, that, and the other. I promise you, put Freddie Freeman on the open market and you'll see how underrated he is when he gets a wallop of a contract. You know, every metric, every poll, ESPN.com, MLB.com, they had him as the highest-rated first baseman going into this year. And somebody tweeted me about, well, he's only finished one time in the top four in MVP. Okay, he's had three top six finishes in the MVP voting. That's not a bad number. He's had a 4, 5, and 6 MVP voting. He's won a gold glove. So put him, you think he's underrated? Okay, put him on the open market, and you'll find out how quickly, how non-underrated he is when somebody comes in with a wallop of a deal because they think that they're one player away from winning the World Series. Now, it's not a matter of I think Freddie Freeman's going to leave the Atlanta Braves or whatever like that, but, you know, is $26 million a year a fair number for Freddie Freeman? I mean, I would think in today's marketplace that if you have another first baseman that's as good as, you know, Paul Goldschmidt is, and Paul Goldschmidt has been a terrific player in Major League Baseball, no question about it. Now, could Freddie probably get more? Yeah, probably. I think very realistically you're going to see a deal that probably is very similar to that. The question becomes, is 5 years too much? You know, do you have fear about paying a guy when he gets to be 35, 36, 37 years old? Because if I'm Freddie Freeman, I'm not signing a 1 or 2 year deal just because, you know, the Braves get concerned about age and things like that. You know, we see these free agent deals that the Braves get involved in. It's 1 year for Josh Donaldson. It's 1 year for Marcelo Zuna. It's 1 year for Cole Hamels. And I can understand that. But obviously when they talked about signing their young guys, what was Ronald's deal? 10 years, I think it was. Ozzie's deal was like 7 or 8 years as well. Now, different scenarios because we're talking about 20, 21, 22-year-olds at that point. We're talking about totally different. But there's no reason for me to think that signing Freddie Freeman to a 5-year deal should be out of the question. But maybe that scares some people. I mean, Freddie's obviously not showing any signs of slowing down. He's obviously, you know, in the peak prime of his career. So I would expect probably a deal that is very similar to what Goldschmidt got. Is that fair? $26 million a year? You know, that would be quite a significant jump from the deal that he signed. Now, albeit that's been a lot of years ago, and you know, you kind of bet, you know, on the upside with something like that. But a deal that he signed where, you know, he was averaging, and I just lost my place here as to what his deal was. You know, if Goldschmidt is five at 16.875 is what Freddie Freeman's deal averaged. It was 8 years at $135 million, so that comes out to 16.9. Let's say $16.9 million a year. That's a pretty significant jump to be able to get up to all of a sudden 26 million. It's not that he's not worth it. He's the best first baseman in baseball. If you want another contract, Eric Hosmer in 2018 signed at 28 years old, he signed for 8 years at $144 million. Now, I don't think Freddie is getting eight years on his deal. I think five is a very strong number. That puts him at 36 years old when that deal would end. I think that's a fair number if you're talking about, could Freddie Freeman still be a $25 million player? Because you know how this will work. Is that if it averages out at $25 million or $26 million per year or what have you, that those contracts will be backloaded. Freddie's was the same way. Freddie, instead of, you know, it averages out 16.9, but Freeman these last 2 years is like 21, 22 million. Like I said, I think it's 22 million is what his number is. So it'll be a low number the first couple of years, but eventually if you're 25, 26, you're talking about now a number that in the last couple of years of that contract start pushing into probably close to $30 million. And then people start saying, okay, at 35, 36 years old, is Freddie Freeman a, let's say, $30 million player? I don't know. Let's hope. But if I'm Freddie, I ain't taking a hometown discount. This is my chance to cash in. He's got one last big contract that he can pull out. Why not take advantage of it? All right, when we get back for the top of the hour, we'll preview Falcons and Lions as we get ready for Week 7 in the NFL as Falcons look to have a back-to-back winning streak going. It's all next. Chuck Reshow, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.